flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a beautiful day. It is sunny. It is clear. It is cool. It is crisp. You know, I'm looking at my 11-year-old son, Brandon, and I know he wants to get out there, you know, take what's left of the snow and try to build some kind of little old silly snowman that's not going to last past 3 o'clock because the sun is beaming down real good. And today I am holding my children a little bit tighter. And I'm thanking God that he's saved. I can't imagine my 11-year-old child in severe pain, hurting, wounded. But that's what an 11-year-old boy is experiencing right now. In St. Paul, he is clinging to life after suffering a gunshot wound to the head last night in the 800 block of Pierce Butler Route in West Frogtown. How did it happen? Why is there an 11-year-old boy with a gunshot wound in his head? What in the hell happened? According to police, a 13-year-old girl who is a suspect in the shooting was arrested last night several miles away on the 100 block of Charles Avenue. That's not far at all from our state capitol building where laws are made. Where legislation is passed, where the leaders of our state get together and decide how things are going to go, how we're going to run this. Police say that 13-year-old girl was taken to the Ramsey County Juvenile Detention Center on suspicion of second-degree assault. How many more times is this going to happen before we say enough is enough? Nobody's trying to take away your guns before you start calling up to the station and worrying the hell out of Josh while we're trying to do this show. But what we are trying to do is have some regulation. The girl was arrested not too far from the state capitol building. Our lawmakers and our legislators need to do something. Time is out for the NRA deciding. Time is out for folks to be sending thoughts and prayers. Time is up. It's time to take a stand. It's time to be brave. It's time to be bold. It's time for our lawmakers to say, we're going to have some protection. We're going to have some limits. There's going to be some rules. There's going to be some laws. It's time for a change. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. When children have easy access to guns and they get into the hands of folks who should not have them. And if you will say, we won't blame the parent. The parent should have locked the gun up. Parents should have put it in a lock. Of course. But we're living in a world and a culture right now where everybody has an easy access to a gun. And there are too many senseless shootings, too many children dying. And we want to send thoughts and prayers. Faith without works is dead. So anybody sending thoughts and prayers? Those faithful people, I want to know where your works are. We're sitting up here and we got laws for how you can talk on the phone in your car because too many people were having accidents. People were dying because folks were on their phone speeding through a school zone and not paying attention. So we created a law. Can't talk on your phone while you're driving. Got to be hands-free. And you talk on your phone if you want to while you're riding down the road. Some nice police officer is going to stop you and write you a ticket or a warning. If the people on the side of you don't start blowing and giving you the finger for breaking the law. Because you're putting people at risk. On the phone in your car. Your car that you paid for on the phone that you paid the bill for. Yep, there's a law on that. And you okay with that? Because it saves lives and makes everybody safe, right? Mm-hmm. You can't ride down the street in your car with your seatbelt off. The police will stop you. It's unsafe. But it's my life. It's my body. If I want to put my seatbelt on, I can, right? It has nothing to do with anybody outside of this car. No, that's the law. And the law enforcement will enforce that law. You ride down the street if you want to without your seatbelt on. They're going to pull you over and they're going to write you a ticket or give you a warning. Why? Because too many people were dying. And it's not safe. So if we can do something about these cell phones and we can do something about these seat belts, why isn't anybody standing up to say, you know what? Too many people have access to guns, especially young people. We need to do something. We need to create a law. It's not safe. It's not safe just like that phone and driving is not safe. It's not safe just like you riding down the street with no seatbelt on. It's not safe. But we just want to send thoughts and prayers when we got 13-year-olds with weapons in their hands. Oh, I know what you're saying. Where's the mom? Where's the dad? Where are we? It takes a village. We are part of this child's village. If you are in the Twin Cities and you are listening to this story or you are reading it somewhere or you are tuning into this show, we are all a part of this child's village. So what are we going to do? And the sad thing is we are living in a society where we want to point the fingers and place the blame, but don't want to take any of the responsibility. Are y'all okay with this? Because I'm just not okay with this. I'm not okay with no a child, not one. 11 years old being shot in the head by another child. Y'all all right with that? Y'all all right with sending just thoughts and prayers on that? That's good for y'all? That's how you living? What are we gonna do to protect this village? And if you think it's just Frog Town, think again. Because the internet is binding and bridging our communities in ways that we cannot even imagine. See those kids from Frog Town that you think would never talk to your child in Minnetonka, they playing video games online together. Those that kid in Frog Town, the little girl who is accused of shooting the 11-year-old boy that you think would never have any dealings with your kid in Plymouth, they're in the same esports league. So if you think that this situation, this child, these guns, this access is not at some point going to knock on your door in Woodbury, please think again before you want to send thoughts and prayers and think this is something that happens over there. This is not something that happens over here. If you live in a gated community, guess what? There's no gate on your internet. Your child is communicating with people all over the world. And so while you sit with your legs crossed, with your arms folded, and you look your nose down at this 13-year-old girl who is arrested, who police say got access to a gun and shot an 11-year-old boy in St. Paul who is clinging to life. Before you think that does not have anything to do with you, check your child's phone. Check your grandson's esports league. Check your niece's emails and text messages. They are interconnected. This is your village. And it's about time you start taking care of the children in your village. We'll be right back. What's going on is our community needs us. Our kids need us to stand up for them and to do more and to do better. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh my God, it's going to be an amazing day. It is beautiful outside. It's cool, but it's crisp. It's 42 degrees. Tomorrow is Easter. I took my kids to North Minneapolis yesterday. And we stuffed me and the kids and Sean and Marsha and Tony Carter and one of our church members, Miss Edwina. We stuffed 200 Easter baskets, stuffed and assembled, to give and hand out to kids in North Minneapolis who might want an Easter basket, who might want to just get a little bit of love. Right, we ordered the little boxes online, and Sean assembled, and the kids put the little grass in there, and then we had little Easter eggs with treats and stickers and fidgets in them, and then we put all the candy and peanut free, of course, Twizzlers and Jolly Ranchers and all kinds of cool stuff. Sour Patch Kids, send them home all sugared up. And we were putting those together, and I was like, oh, you know what we're missing? We're missing the Easter bunny. So I called a costume shop in St. Paul, and I was like, hey, let me rent the Easter costume. And I told Sean, go over there and get the Easter costume. And he was like, okay, so who go get in the costume? I was like, the dude who's picking it up is gonna be you. So get the costume because we're gonna pass out the baskets tomorrow on Easter Sunday. Sean's gonna do get in the costume, and any kids who come up until we run out of candy. Like I said, we got 200 baskets. We were there all night last night, making them perfect and putting them together. And I'm looking at my kids, and I'm like, this is gonna be a great weekend. And then this morning I woke up, and heard Al-Shaq reporting on the 11-year-old boy who is clinging to life right now, who was shot in the head, and the 13-year-old girl who was arrested. And I'm looking at my 11-year-old kid and my 10-year-old daughter and my 9-year-old son. And I'm thinking, I'm a mama. Those are somebody's children. What's my role to play? What's my part to make it better? I don't want anybody's child clinging to life while I'm still living. What am I going to do? This is not an isolated incident. Access to guns. Our kids having access to guns is so common in this country. And we clutch our pearls every time an incident like this happens and say, oh my God, it's those people over there. No, those people are everywhere. Because when guns get into the wrong hands, especially into the hands of our children, these are babies. 11 years old is sixth grade. You should have a headache from doing fractions in sixth grade, not clinging to life because somebody put a bullet through your skull. Thoughts and prayers are needed. Yeah, and so is action. So you want to regulate somebody wearing a seatbelt because it saves lives. And you want to regulate talking on the phone in the car because you don't want the driver distracted because it saves lives. But you're okay with turning away and not legislating and putting some restrictions on and putting some blocks up so that our young people, our sixth and eighth graders, let me just put it in regular terms. 11 years old is sixth grade. 13 years old is eighth grade. So you're okay with that, but you don't want me to talk on the phone while I'm driving. You'll blow your horn at me if I'm on the phone driving. But you're okay with a sixth grader and eighth grader having access to a gun. You don't want to do nothing about that. Because you think they in Frogtown, it's not going to affect you in Minnetonka. It's not going to affect you in Plymouth. It's not going to affect you in Brainerd. It's not going to impact you. That's those kids over there in that part of town. My children at my private school over at Breck, we would never do anything like that. We won't even know anybody like that. You don't. I guarantee you, your kids do. If they're not the one you think you're not talking about. We have got to take a stand. We have got to say enough is enough. We have got to be bold and courageous enough to say, you know what? This probably gonna upset some folk. My legislator's not gonna want to hear this, but I have got to call DC. I've got to call my local office. I've got to set up a meeting. I've got to write a letter. Because more than thoughts and prayers are needed. And it's only getting worse. Remember when this kind of story was national news and we talked about it for a week? This story might not even make it to CNN because it's so common that guns are getting into the hands of sixth and eighth grade children. Are y'all okay with that? Y'all willing to go to sleep tonight and y'all gonna sleep good? It's not gonna bother you? You're not gonna feel the need to write an op-ed or a letter to the editor? Nothing, huh? Okay. And again, I tell you, when you say thoughts and prayers are needed, I tell you, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith. You better show me some works. What are you actively working on to make it better? I don't want my kids to be worried that their friends got a gun. I don't want their friends to have a gun. So what are we going to do about it? We are all in this village together. We are all in this village together. How are you going to make your village better? We'll be right back. It is a beautiful day. It is sunny. It is clear. It is cool. It is crisp. You know, I'm looking at my 11-year-old son, Brandon, and I know he wants to get out there, you know, take what's left of the snow and try to build some kind of little old silly snowman that's not going to last past 3 o'clock because the sun is beaming down real good. And today I am holding my children a little bit tighter. And I'm thanking God that he's saved. I can't imagine my 11-year-old child in severe pain, hurting, wounded. But that's what an 11-year-old boy is experiencing right now in St. Paul. He is clinging to life after suffering a gunshot wound to the head last night in the 800 block of Pierce Butler route in West Frogtown. How did it happen? Why is there an 11-year-old boy with a gunshot wound in his head? What in the hell happened? According to police, a 13-year-old girl who is a suspect in the shooting was arrested last night several miles away on the 100 block of Charles Avenue. That's not far. Not far at all from our state capitol building where laws are made, where legislation is passed, where the leaders of our state get together and decide how things are going to go, how we're going to run this. Police say that 13-year-old girl was taken to the Ramsey County Juvenile Detention Center on suspicion of second-degree assault. How many more times is this going to happen before we say enough is enough? Nobody's trying to take away your guns before you start calling up to the station and worrying the hell out of Josh while we're trying to do this show. But what we are trying to do is have some regulation. The girl was arrested not too far from the state capitol building. Our lawmakers and our legislators need to do something. Time is out for the NRA deciding. Time is out for folks to be sending thoughts and prayers. Time is up. It's time to take a stand. It's time to be brave. It's time to be bold. It's time for our lawmakers to say, we're going to have some protection. We're going to have some limits. There's going to be some rules. There's going to be some laws. It's time for a change. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. When children have easy access to guns and they get into the hands of folks who should not have them. And if you will say, we won't blame the parent. The parent should have locked the gun up. Parents should have put it in a lot. Of course. But we're living in a world and a culture right now where everybody has an easy access to a gun. And there are too many senseless shootings, too many children dying. And we want to send thoughts and prayers. Faith without works is dead. So anybody sending thoughts and prayers? Those faithful people, I want to know where your works are. We're sitting up here and we got laws for how you can talk on the phone in your car because too many people were having accidents. People were dying because folks were on their phone speeding through a school zone and not paying attention. So we created a law. Can't talk on your phone while you're driving. Got to be hands-free. And you talk on your phone if you want to while you're riding down the road. Some nice police officer is going to stop you and write you a ticket or a warning. If the people on the side of you don't start blowing and giving you the finger for breaking the law, because you're putting people at risk on the phone in your car. Your car that you paid for on the phone that you paid the bill for. Yep, there's a law on that. And you okay with that? Because it saves lives and makes everybody safe, right? Mm-hmm. You can't ride down the street in your car with your seatbelt off. The police will stop you. It's unsafe. But it's my life. It's my body. If I want to put my seatbelt on, I can, right? It has nothing to do with anybody outside of this car. No, that's the law. And the law enforcement will enforce that law. You ride down the street if you want to without your seatbelt on. They're going to pull you over and they're going to write you a ticket or give you a warning. Why? Because too many people were dying. And it's not safe. So if we can do something about these cell phones and we can do something about these seat belts, why isn't anybody standing up to say, you know what? Too many people have access to guns, especially young people. We need to do something. We need to create a law. It's not safe. It's not safe just like that phone and driving is not safe. It's not safe just like you riding down the street with no seatbelt on. It's not safe. But we just want to send thoughts and prayers when we got 13-year-olds with weapons in their hands. Or I know what you're saying. Where's the mom? Where's the dad? Where are we? It takes a village. We are part of this child's village. If you are in the Twin Cities and you are listening to this story or you are reading it somewhere or you are tuning into this show, we are all a part of this child's village. So what are we going to do? And the sad thing is we are living in a society where we want to point the fingers and place the blame, but don't want to take any of the responsibility. Are y'all okay with this? Because I'm just not okay with this. I'm not okay with a child, not one, 11 years old being shot in the head by another child. Y'all all right with that? Y'all all right with sending just thoughts and prayers on that? That's good for y'all? That's how you living? What are we going to do to protect this village? And if you think it's just Frog Town, think again. Because the internet is binding and bridging our communities in ways that we cannot even imagine. See, those kids from Frog Town that you think would never talk to your child in Minnetonka, they're playing video games online together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kid in Frog Town, the little girl who is accused of shooting the 11-year-old boy that you think would never have any dealings with your kid in Plymouth, They're in the same esports league. So if you think that this situation, this child, these guns, this access is not at some point going to knock on your door in Woodbury, please think again before you want to send thoughts and prayers and think this is something that happens over there. This is not something that happens over here. If you live in a gated community, guess what? There's no gate on your internet. Your child is communicating with people all over the world. And so while you sit with your legs crossed, with your arms folded, and you look your nose down at this 13-year-old girl who is arrested, who police say got access to a gun, and shot an 11-year-old boy in St. Paul who is clinging to life. Before you think that does not have anything to do with you, check your child's phone. Check your grandson's esports league. Check your niece's emails and text messages. They are interconnected. This is your village. And it's about time you start taking care of the children in your village. We'll be right back. What's going on is our community needs us. Our kids need us to stand up for them and to do more and to do better. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh my God, it's going to be an amazing day. It is beautiful outside. It's cool, but it's crisp. It's 42 degrees. Tomorrow is Easter. I took my kids to North Minneapolis yesterday and we stuffed me and the kids and Sean and Marsha and Tony Carter and one of our church members, Miss Edwina. We stuffed 200 Easter baskets, stuffed and assembled, to give and hand out to kids in North Minneapolis who might want an Easter basket, who might want to just get a little bit of love. Right. We ordered the little boxes online and Sean assembled and the kids put the little grass in there. And then we had little Easter eggs with treats and stickers and fidgets in them. And then we put all the candy and, you know, peanut free, of course, Twizzlers and Jolly Ranchers and all kinds of cool stuff. Sour Patch Kids, you know, send them home all sugared up. And we were putting those together. And I was like, oh, you know what we're missing? We're missing the Easter Bunny. So I called a costume shop in St. Paul. And I was like, hey, let me rent the Easter costume. And I told Sean, go over there and get the Easter costume. And he was like, okay, so who go get the costume? I was like, the dude who's picking it up is going to be you. So get the costume because we're going to pass out the baskets tomorrow on Easter Sunday. Sean's going to do get in the costume and any kids who come up until we run out of candy. Like I said, we got 200 baskets. We were there all night last night making them perfect and putting them together. I'm looking at my kids and I'm like, this is going to be a great weekend. And then this morning I woke up and heard Al Shock reporting on the 11-year-old boy who is clinging to life right now. Who was shot in the head, and the 13-year-old girl who was arrested. And I'm looking at my 11-year-old kid and my 10-year-old daughter and my 9-year-old son. And I'm thinking, I'm a mama. Those are somebody's children. What's my role to play? What's my part to make it better? I don't want anybody's child clinging to life while I'm still living. What am I going to do? This is not an isolated incident. Access to guns. Our kids having access to guns is so common in this country. we clutch our pearls every time an incident like this happens and say, oh my God, it's those people over there. No, those people are everywhere. Because when guns get into the wrong hands, especially into the hands of our children, these are babies. 11 years old is sixth grade. You should have a headache from doing fractions in sixth grade, not clinging to life because somebody put a bullet through your skull. Thoughts and prayers are needed. Yeah, and so is action. So you want to regulate somebody wearing a seatbelt because it saves lives. And you want to regulate talking on the phone in the car because you don't want the driver distracted because it saves lives. But you're okay with turning away and not legislating and putting some restrictions on and putting some blocks up so that our young people, our sixth and eighth graders, let me just put it in regular terms. 11 years old is sixth grade. 13 years old is eighth grade. So you're okay with that, but you don't want me to talk on the phone while I'm driving. You'll blow your horn at me if I'm on the phone driving. But you're okay with a sixth grader and eighth grader having access to a gun. You don't want to do nothing about that. Because you think they in Frogtown, it's not going to affect you in Minnetonka. It's not going to affect you in Plymouth. It's not going to affect you in Brainerd. It's not going to impact you. That's those kids over there in that part of town. My children at my private school over at Breck, we would never do anything like that. We won't even know anybody like that. You don't. I guarantee you, your kids do. If they're not the one you think you're not talking about. We have got to take a stand. We have got to say enough is enough. We have got to be bold and courageous enough to say, you know what? This probably gonna upset some folk. My legislator's not gonna want to hear this, but I have got to call DC. I've got to call my local office. I've got to set up a meeting. I've got to write a letter. Because more than thoughts and prayers are needed. And it's only getting worse. Remember when this kind of story was national news and we talked about it for a week? This story might not even make it to CNN because it's so common that guns are getting into the hands of sixth and eighth grade children. Are y'all okay with that? Y'all willing to go to sleep tonight and y'all gonna sleep good? It's not going to bother you. You're not going to feel the need to write an op-ed or a letter to the editor. Nothing, huh? Okay. And again, I tell you, when you say thoughts and prayers are needed, I tell you, faith without works is dead. Show me your faith. You better show me some works. What are you actively working on to make it better? I don't want my kids to be worried that their friends got a gun. I don't want their friends to have a gun. So what are we going to do about it? We are all in this village together. We are all in this village together. How are you going to make your village better? We'll be right back.